Imagine, it is November 1st, right? You run this massive distribution center, and your biggest corporate client just called to say, hey, we are doubling our holiday order, effective immediately.
Which is pretty much every warehouse manager's worst nightmare.
Exactly. You suddenly need like 150 forklift drivers and warehouse associates on your floor by Tuesday morning, or your entire supply chain just completely collapses.
And you definitely don't have time to post on job boards.
No, you certainly do not have time to schedule 50 rounds of interviews, and you definitely cannot wait weeks for background checks to clear. So what do? You pick up the phone and you call the invisible engine of the modern economy. Welcome to the deep dive, by the way. I'm so glad you're joining us for this one.
It really is a massive engine, and it operates almost entirely behind the scenes. Like when we look at a factory that suddenly doubles its output overnight, or a retail operation scaling up for a holiday surge, we tend to just see the results.
Right, the packages arrive on our doorstep, the shelves are stocked.
Exactly. But the actual mechanism making that possible, it completely redefines traditional ideas of what it means to be an employer.
Which is the core focus of our deep dive today. We are exploring the temporary staffing industry, and we've got this single, incredibly comprehensive source guiding us today. It's a detailed operational guide from Regional Supplemental Services, or RSS Inc., and it's titled, What is a Temporary Workers Agency and How Does It Operate?
It's a really fantastic breakdown of the industry.
It is. And our mission today is to sort of decode the mechanics, the economics, and the legal realities of temporary labor based on this guide.
Man.
We're going to extract the exact insights you need to understand how modern businesses scale overnight without, collapsing under their own administrative weight.
And understanding this mechanism is critical, right? Whether you are managing a team yourself, running a business, or really just participating in the modern workforce. Because the temporary labor model is no longer just a stopgap measure.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
basically a structural pillar of global commerce now.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand how this massive engine actually works, we have to start with a concept that frankly just breaks our traditional understanding of a job.
Oh, totally.
Let's look at the fundamental relationship at the heart of temporary staffing. You have a worker standing on a factory floor, right? They are taking orders from the factory manager, and they are using the factory's equipment. But who is actually the boss?
Well, legally speaking, the boss is the temporary workers agency.
Wow.
Yeah, the concept anchoring this entire industry is that the agency acts as the, quote, employer of record. They handle the recruiting, the hiring, the supplying of the workers,
Right.
while the client company, like the factory in your example, they only manage the day-to-day work responsibilities. They supervise the task, but they do not legally employ the person doing the task.
It is almost like cloud computing, but for human talent.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Think about it. With cloud computing, a company does not buy a massive server farm and maintain all the physical hardware themselves anymore. They just buy a subscription and pay for the bandwidth they need exactly when they need it.
Yep.
Temporary staffing feels exactly like a subscription service for labor. Businesses are only paying for the bandwidth they need right now, rather than building this costly permanent HR infrastructure for a demand spike that might only last, what, 3 months?
Exactly. Shifting a fixed capital cost into a flexible operational expense is, well, it's the primary financial driver here. And if we look at the source material, this labor-on-demand model is utilized across nearly every major sector.
It's everywhere.
It really is. We see heavy reliance in manufacturing, logistics and distribution, construction, healthcare, and of course, seasonal retail.
Basically, anywhere that demand is not just a flat, predictable line.
Precisely. The core advantage they are buying is speed. Companies deploy this model for a variety of strategic reasons beyond just, surviving the holidays.
Right. What else do they use it for?
They use it for short-term projects with strictly defined timelines, covering for unexpected employee absenteeism, or even rapid growth periods where they just need hands on deck immediately to fulfill a new contract.
That makes sense.
And they also use it extensively to test out workers before committing to permanent hires, which is what the industry calls the temp to hire model.
Yeah, the try before you buy approach makes total sense for an employer managing risk.
Yeah.
But I mean, wanting workers quickly is one thing. Actually, delivering 100 qualified people to a warehouse floor by 6, 7 a.m. on a Tuesday is another entirely.
It's a massive logistical hurdle.
Right. So if I need a worker tomorrow, I assume I'm skipping the traditional HR gauntlet. Is the agency essentially pre-processing all the red tape, like the I-9 forms, the background checks, so I just get a plug-and-play employee?
They are, yeah. And it happens through a really highly structured operational workflow. Our source breaks this down into a five-step placement engine.
Okay, let's go through these.
It is designed to deliver workers rapidly while still checking every single legal and compliance box. So step one is the workforce request and role definition.
Meaning the client has to actually know what they want.
Exactly. The client company cannot just say, send me some people. They have to define exactly what they need, the specific duties, the shifts, the required certifications, and the anticipated duration of the assignment.
Which gives the agency the blueprint.
Right. And that blueprint triggers step two, which is candidate recruitment and screening. The agency either pulls from its existing talent pool or actively recruits new candidates to fill that specific profile. Crucially, the agency is the entity handling the interviews, the skills assessments, the background checks, and the employment verification.
Okay, wait, I have to push back here for a second.
Sure.
Because adding a third-party agency sounds inherently counterproductive if your main goal is speed. Doesn't bringing in a middleman naturally slow down the hiring process?
You would think so.
Right. And frankly, if they are moving that fast, aren't they sacrificing quality? Like, if you are placing someone in 24 hours, how do you know they are actually qualified to operate heavy machinery and they're not just a warm body to fill a quota?
What's fascinating here is that the middleman actually bypasses traditional corporate bottlenecks entirely.
How so?
Well, think about a standard corporate hiring process. You have to get budget approval to post a job. You wait weeks for resumes to trickle in. You try to schedule multiple rounds of interviews around busy manager schedules. And then you wait for background checks to clear.
Which takes forever.
Exactly. It can take a month or more just to get someone in the door.
And by then, the holiday rush is completely over and you've missed your shipping deadlines.
Exactly. But staffing agencies maintain what are called active candidate pipelines. Their entire business model is based on having workers perpetually ready to deploy.
Oh, so the work is already done.
Right. They have already done the screening. They've already run the background checks and verified employment eligibility weeks before your distribution center ever even picked up the phone.
Wow.
Because the agency maintains this deep bench of pre-screened talent, they aren't starting from scratch when you call. Placements can occur within a few days, or in many cases, literally within 24 hours. The administrative burden isn't just shifted, it is completely pre-processed.
Okay, so if they have this massive bench of pre-screened people, I assume the next hurdle is the actual onboarding.
Mm-hmm.
When these workers show up on Tuesday morning, do I still have to sit them in a break room and make them fill out tax forms for 3 hours?
You do not, which brings us to step three, placement and onboarding.
Nice.
The agency handles all the hiring documentation. They set up the payroll system, they verify employment eligibility, and they handle the tax withholding forms before the worker ever steps foot on your property.
That is a huge time saver.
It is. And once they are deployed to the client site, we enter step four, assignment management. The worker executes the job under the client company's supervision, but the agency is the one running the weekly payroll, withholding the taxes, and doing all the administrative maintenance behind the scenes.
And then the project ends and we hit step five.
Right. Step five is assignment completion or transition. The seasonal surge is over, and the worker either goes back into the agency's active pool to await a new assignment, they move directly to a different client, or if it was a temp to hire arrangement, they transition into a permanent role with the original client.
Okay, shifting that administrative burden sounds incredible for the client company. You get the labor, but you don't do the paperwork.
Win-win.
But let's talk about the money, because that level of white glove service isn't free. Paying an agency a bill rate to supply a worker has to be a premium.
Oh, definitely.
If I would normally pay a forklift driver $20 an hour, and the agency charges me $30 an hour, I am paying a massive markup. How does that make financial sense for a business operating on really thin margins?
Well, on a strict side-by-side hourly basis, the bill rate is absolutely higher than the direct wage. But evaluating it that way ignores the total cost of employment.
Okay, break that down for me.
The math balances out when you look at what that single bill rate actually covers. It covers the worker's wages, yes, but it also absorbs all the payroll taxes, the employer's portion of Social Security and Medicare, the worker's compensation coverage, and the administrative overhead of the agency running the pipeline.
In other words, you stop buying the cow and just start paying for the milk by the gallon. It is an all-inclusive price tag.
It is, and it eliminates massive hidden costs for the client company.
Like what?
Think about the invisible price tag of direct hiring. You have the cost of posting on job boards, the sheer cost of the hours your internal HR team spends interviewing 50 people just to hire 5, the onboarding administration.
Right, that time is money.
And perhaps the biggest hidden cost of all, the financial risk of terminating permanent employees when demand inevitably drops.
Paying severance, dealing with a spike in your unemployment insurance premiums.
Exactly. With a temporary workforce, when the demand spike ends, the assignment simply ends. The financial risk of downsizing and the hit to a company's unemployment insurance rating is virtually eliminated.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the financial risk might be mitigated by paying that premium bill rate. But what about the legal risk? Because you cannot just rent a workforce and pretend you have zero liability if something goes horribly wrong on the factory floor. Our source material talks extensively about a compliance minefield.
It really is a minefield.
If the agency is the employer of record, but the client is supervising the work, who gets sued when things go sideways?
That shared responsibility is the ultimate tightrope of this industry. The source details 4 major compliance risks that companies have to navigate really carefully.
Okay, what's the first one?
First is worker classification. This is the bedrock of the legal relationship. If a company treats a temporary worker like an independent contractor to avoid paying overtime or misclassifies their role, it can trigger massive wage disputes, IRS tax penalties, and retroactive benefits claims.
Because the government wants its tax revenue, and they do not care how clever you think your staffing arrangement is.
They do not care at all. Second is wage and hour compliance. Temporary workers are almost universally hourly employees. If the client company is sloppy with time tracking or asks a worker to stay late to finish loading a truck without communicating that to the agency, you are looking at serious overtime violations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The agency has to pay the worker for those hours, and if the client didn't record them, the legal fallout is severe. Third is workplace safety.
I imagine this one is huge.
It's massive. The agency and the client share a responsibility here. The agency provides general safety training, but the client must provide site-specific hazard training. You cannot just look at a temp worker and say, well, they aren't on my payroll, so I don't care if they wear a hard hat.
Because OSHA still cares.
Right.
Regardless of whose name is on the paycheck.
OSHA always cares.
Which leads us to the fourth and arguably the most complex risk.
Right. The fourth risk is co-employment liability.
Break down the mechanics of co-employment for me. How does a company accidentally become a co-employer?
Co-employment occurs when both the staffing agency and the client company share employer responsibilities in the eyes of the law, but they fail to properly define the boundaries of that relationship. Think of it like a divorced couple sharing custody of a teenager.
Okay. I like where this is going.
If that teenager throws a baseball and breaks a neighbor's window, who pays for it?
That's a great question.
Is it the parent whose house the teenager was staying at when it happened, or the parent who technically pays the weekly allowance? If the custody paperwork isn't airtight, the neighbor is just going to sue both of you. In the staffing world, if there isn't clear contractual documentation defining exactly who handles payroll, who enforces attendance policies, who provides specific safety oversight, and who handles disciplinary procedures, legal disputes are guaranteed.
It's just a matter of time.
Exactly. If a worker feels they were treated unfairly and it is ambiguous who their actual employer is based on day-to-day interactions, the courts can and will hold both the agency and the client fully liable.
So choosing a staffing agency isn't just about finding someone who can deliver warm bodies to a warehouse to hit a quota.
Not at all.
It is entirely about finding a legally bulletproof partner. If the agency messes up the I-9 verification or they fail to properly document the safety training, the client company is the one who could end up in the crosshairs of an audit.
Yes. The quality of the agency directly dictates the legal safety and the operational stability of the client. The source outlines specific decision criteria for evaluating a staffing partner.
What should companies be looking for?
You have to scrutinize their industry specialization, the actual depth of their candidate pipeline, the rigor of their safety programs, their operational responsiveness, and their strategies for retaining workers. So you do not have a revolving door of untrained faces every single day.
Well, let's focus on that industry specialization piece for a second, because our source material actually provides a perfect case study of what this looks like in practice. Let's look at RSS Inc. themselves.
Yeah. They are a great example.
They aren't just some generic strip mall agency that claims they can hire anybody for literally any job. They are highly specialized.
The source highlights their specific targeted focus on manufacturing, logistics, and industrial environments.
And those are sectors that require incredibly strict safety standards and the ability to deploy large numbers of workers very rapidly.
Yeah.
When you look at the specific services RSS Inc. provides, it paints a very clear picture of this specialization. The guide list that they supply: assembly line workers, CDL drivers, production workers, warehouse workers, machine operators, and they also list strike replacement as a contingency service for companies facing immediate labor disruptions.
And providing those specific types of industrial workers requires a completely different infrastructure than, say, an agency that provides temporary receptionists for corporate law firms.
Right. The granular details in the source really drive this home. The source shows they actually have completely siloed divisions to handle this. You aren't calling a general 1-800 number where your request just goes into a generic inbox.
No, not at all.
They maintain entirely separate dedicated hotlines. Like for warehouse worker recruiting, you call 315-941-3084.
Right.
But if you need CDL driver recruiting, that is a completely different number, 914-317-6356. And they even have a completely distinct line for companies looking to hire, 914-879-6663, separating the business-to-business side from the talent acquisition side.
It's really smart.
They are siloing their expertise to manage the specific compliance needs of each role.
And that kind of operational separation is essential. Think about the mechanics of placing a CDL driver versus an assembly line worker.
Totally different world.
Completely different. A CDL driver requires Department of Transportation compliance tracking, intensive motor vehicle record checks, and specific medical clearances.
Right.
Whereas a warehouse worker requires different background checks and completely different safety protocols. You cannot run those two compliance pipelines through the exact same desk.
The source mentions they handle deep background checks, DMV reports, medical paperwork, workers' compensation, disability, social security tracking, sick day management. I mean, the list of administrative hurdles they clear before a worker ever puts on a uniform is just staggering.
It is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this level of administrative heavy lifting is exactly why the industry has shifted its terminology.
How do you mean?
Well, they no longer want to be called temp vendors. They position themselves as strategic operational partners.
Oh, I see.
Because a vendor just sells you a product, in this case, an hour of labor. A strategic partner takes on your administrative burden, they navigate your compliance minefields, and they absorb your legal risk.
That's a huge distinction.
It is. The organizations that understand this distinction, the ones that integrate their staffing agency into their broader workforce planning rather than just calling them in an emergency, are the ones that experience improved productivity and reduced turnover, even when their market demand is wildly unpredictable.
So what does this all mean? We started by talking about the magic of a distribution center, scaling its workforce overnight to meet a holiday rush.
Yeah.
But as we've unpacked today, temporary staffing is far more than just filling empty chairs on a factory floor. It is a complex, highly structured, and incredibly nuanced strategy for risk management, operational flexibility, and economic scaling.
It requires a profound level of logistical coordination. And the core takeaway for you listening to this is that the modern workforce is not a monolith.
No, it's not.
Whether you are a manager trying to figure out how to scale a team without breaking your budget, or you are just an observer of the modern economy trying to understand how massive supply chains actually function, understanding the structural differences between direct hiring, temporary staffing, and temp-to-hire models completely changes how you view the world around you.
It really does change your perspective.
Yeah.
You realize that the person scanning your items at a pop-up retail shop or the person driving that delivery truck down your street might technically be legally employed by a company you have never even heard of.
Exactly.
It is an invisible, intricate web of employment that keeps the whole economy moving. Which leaves me with a final thought, a question that builds on everything we have read in this guide today.
Let's hear it.
We know that temporary workers can transition into permanent roles, and we know that businesses are increasingly relying on these flexible models, not just for seasonal spikes, but just to maintain their basic operational continuity in a really volatile market. So at what point does a company's temporary workforce actually become the permanent, essential backbone of their entire operation?
Wow. That is the defining question of the modern labor market, honestly, as flexibility slowly becomes the new permanence.
Something to mull over the next time you see a massive warehouse spring to life overnight. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.